And now, about ready for camp to be over, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I totally forgot that.
Didn't we all?
I was also told I'd be given gear Tuesday night. That didn't occur.
No, that's true.
That didn't occur. So, not all
on me. And you were told there
me.
Would be no math.
Not all on me, right? This is
right.
Not all on me.
No.
Okay, just want to make
not
sure.
Not all.
Yeah, not all, but you some. Know,
we work on the show, too, and we forgot. Well, that'll just add to
the excitement. Well, that'll teach people to not need answers from me in the middle of the show when I'm on remote on the brink of our 100-year celebration. That's when that was set up.
Oh, yeah.
When there were like 9 things going on in addition to us doing a show, was like, yeah, you're going to need to do the show from home Wednesday. Yeah, okay.
Well, this will be a fun experiment.
Yeah, we'll see how this works. Should be interesting. Should be really interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
It's just
looking forward to it.
You don't think, you know, your show's starting out of nowhere, just someone lands on the deck. You're like,
somebody climbed up on the deck.
Is this some kind of a mission? What is happening?
Yeah. So,
I tell you what,
so I don't know.
That's not something I've seen before.
No. So, anyway, yeah. So, you know, got that going on.
We soldier on, we push on to the next thing.
Somebody wants to figure out a plan B, I can get moving.
my last job, they were not shy about, which was, for those of you who don't know, was also on the radio. We were on the first floor, and they were not shy about mowing the lawn right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just standard.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's something, ball dropped. On a plane. I was supposed to be out of the studio. We were supposed to, you know, not do the show here so that we could, there's work to be done here. Now I'm not sure how that work's going to get done.
You know what? Let's put it in automation and we all go home.
It's will be 4 hours out of 20 and we'll just get through it.
We'll see how this goes.
People will get to remember the Wednesday when Seren wasn't supposed to be in the studio.
We've got a lot coming your way today, one way or another. It's going to happen. I can tell you that. We've got the feud with Todd Lebo coming up. We'll get some Lebo sounds. That's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. At 4, Frank Bull will be with us. We'll get some Frank opinions, play What in the World, Seren. That's at 4 o'clock in the 5 o'clock hour. Mike Sando. National NFL writer, senior NFL writer for The Athletic. And he, of course, penned. He was the originator of the quarterback tiers. Often imitated, never duplicated. 50 execs around the league. It was from his piece that people made a big deal out of Lamar Jackson. Will never be tier one, no matter how many MVPs he wins. That was a statement from that was in Mike's piece, part of a statement. Also, that if you take away the first read from Patrick Mahomes, he plays street ball.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Mike Sando about the reactions to the quarterback piece and maybe dive a little bit deeper. I think it's unfair that those quotes were taken out and people didn't bother to read his whole story and give context to what it was. That he was talking about there, but we'll dig even deeper and find out about the conversations he had with the execs who made those statements. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour.
Let me ask you a quick question. What is more egregious, if you want to call it that? Taking those quotes out of context without putting it in the context of the whole story, or saying somebody who rode a cart out of practice was carted off the practice field?
Interesting. Because we certainly have that dilemma. By the way, you can hear there, we've opened the phone lines, 913-3-810-810, if you want to be a part of the conversation today. 913-3-810-810. We're going to talk some Chiefs football to get things started here. I'll also tell you coming up later, we're going to talk about the Houston Texans situation. As they, I don't understand how they are not in big, big trouble with the NFL. The lawman is going to join us from Jungle Law. We'll talk to our buddy Tristan and get a real lawyer's perspective.
Yeah. Instead of our mindless speculation.
Yeah, because we've talked about
it. Who actually does this stuff.
I don't understand how the Texans, like, it's all about Deshaun Watson, and the Texans, the only thing we've heard about the Texans, who largely a lot of these things happened on their watch, the only thing we've heard is that they've settled with everybody.
Yeah.
So clearly they felt some culpability, right?
Mm-hmm. At least
how much did they have? Why did these individuals settle? Did they get an overwhelming amount of cash? We get Tristan's thoughts on how that all came down. The lawman from Jungle Law will be with us coming up here a little bit later on. Let's start with the Chiefs. To your point about guys being carted off, both players, Mecole Hardman and Chris Jones, and who was it that said they were carted off?
I
saw mainly a couple. I saw one or two national.
Yeah, I feel Yates is one of the guys, but they're seeing things that are other. Someone said, hey, they was taken off on a card or carted off, and then it became to they were carted off, and then, wait, is that a serious injury? He was carted off.
That is an important distinction to make. Carted off is, you know, like, are you in the front seat or are you on the back? Did people load you onto the cart?
Yes.
With a stretcher, as we've seen severe injuries in, you know, the NFL. That was not the case here. Chris Jones is said to have a sore back, right? That's the word we got there, a sore back. I will tell you that I saw Chris Jones roll his ankle a little bit yesterday, and kind of hobble around, do the hop walk to try to work it out real quick, you know, the hobble walk, and then stay in practice. Yeah. And so I thought, ooh, I wonder if he twisted that a little more than he thought and he was giving it a go and he left. They said, no, it was a sore back.
But if Chris Jones has a sore back, you're not going to make him walk up the hill. You're going to sit him in a cart and drive him up there. That's it. That's different than, you know. And Mecole Hardman might be a little more serious. He landed and kind of limped off the field
on
the
left
leg.
On that topic of Mecole Hardman, I wanted to repeat this for listeners of the Zone. They heard this, but just for anybody just tuning in, Andy Reid told SiriusXM that Mecole Hardman will get an MRI, but Andy Reid is optimistic that it is not serious. That was Alex Marvez of SiriusXM.
Yep. Alex, friend of the program.
A groin injury.
A groin injury for Mecole Hardman was the injury there. It should be pointed out, Juju Smith-Schuster not on the field, second consecutive day. Sore knee was what was said the other day. So, you know, I read, I don't know, one of the websites I've got booked is like about NFL injuries. You're like, okay, this guy was lost. The Browns lost a center. Different things that were out there. And I actually had the thought, she's been pretty injury-free. And then, boom, here it is. James Winchester, not a practice either. He had personal reasons he was excused from practice for. So, but now all of a sudden that wide receiver position, and I'm optimistic at this point.
Room. Everyone's seeing the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
The running back room. That's the cool thing now.
That is. I believe that we will not see Juju Smith-Schuster or Mecole Hardman on Saturday.
Yeah.
I think if we're missing Wednesday, I don't, surprising. You know, why would you risk them in that game? So the younger wideouts get a chance to, you know, show more of their wares. And I think when you see this is one of the reasons why it's important for Justin Watson to be playing the way he is.
Yes.
Because the depth is necessary. You're talking about two of the four guys you were counting on going down. Now you're looking at what would be MVS and Sky Moore starting. Your third wideout becomes Justin Watson.
Who's had, by all accounts,
great
another
camp.
Good week of camp. I mean,
great camp.
Responded to a really good game on Saturday with three really good days of camp, so.
Talked about it last night on our Red, Gold, and Bold podcast with Eric Eager and Jeff Chedia. And, you know, one of the things, I can't remember who was telling the story. Was it Jeff or was it Eric? That with the Bucs and with Tom Brady, like in one of the first games, he undercut a route, which resulted in an interception for Brady, and then they basically never threw him the ball again.
Wow.
And otherwise, I mean, he was looking like a pretty productive player.
Yeah.
And he looks really productive for the Chiefs. So thanks,
yes.
Tom.
Thank you.
Because this could be a guy that the Chiefs really need. How many wideouts do you keep? Well, I think there's five for sure. I think probably six, especially if they can play some special teams, and Watkins can. I think you'll see, you know, a pretty healthy receiving core. How many running backs are you anticipating? Last year they broke camp with three running backs and a fullback.
I guess probably going to be the same.
And the three are?
I think it's going to be Clyde, Pacheco, and Jerick McKinnon.
No Ronald Jones?
No. I think he gets cut.
Grunhard pointed out, based on what? What others are saying, right? That he's the popular cut.
He hasn't been on. He hasn't flashed in practice. He hasn't flashed in the one game he played in. He's been struggling in pass protection, which is kind of alarming for a guy who's a veteran. To this point, I mean, the only reason he's intriguing is because of who he was, not who he is right now. So, I don't think Andy Reid cares who you were. Like, he cares who you are, and that's Brett Veach is the same way. So, at this point, something's going to have to happen that I don't expect for Ronald Jones to make this roster.
Okay.
Unless they keep four. I can't see the other three, any one of the other three getting cut. Clyde's the, you don't cut a first round. I guess it's possible, but it doesn't seem like it. Pacheco's doing everything. There's no way they're cutting him.
Yeah.
And they saw what McKinnon could do in the postseason last year.
We didn't see anything overwhelming in the Bears game, but I think almost the fact that he was out there early and then they took him off the field, everyone's like, well, they don't want to get him hurt.
And then he was one of the feature guys Monday in practice, post-practice. You are talking about Pacheco, right?
Okay. Yes, yes.
You don't put guys out there, rookies out there, the final week of practice if you're going to cut them.
Yeah, I think I would go back to a week or two ago. I think Pacheco's fate was sealed to make this team when Dave Tobe was talking him up. And even more, you know, and then everything, and maybe I've taken that and taken everything since as confirmation to try to confirm what I thought was going to happen from Dave Tobe's comments, but that began it for me.
I think he's more likely to lead the team in rushing than he is to not make the roster.
Really?
Yes.
I
just don't think there's any chance he doesn't make the roster. That's probably, he has a 5% chance of leading the team in rushing. I think he has a 0.5% chance of being cut. It's a very small. You're talking about two numbers you can almost barely see. I don't think he's going to lead the team in rushing, but I absolutely don't think he's getting cut.
I haven't seen enough to say one or the other. I'm still perplexed by a guy averaging 3.4 yards a carry in college being a guy who can't miss all of a sudden.
Right.
That's where I struggle to get my arms around it.
Like, there's a reason he went in the seventh round, right? There's a reason 32 teams passed on him six times.
You know, nobody in New England will tell you that they knew Tom Brady would be what he is because they passed on him five times before they took him. So, yeah, I think that's very interesting, to say the least. This might add a little something to it. Let's hear Eric Bieniemy talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Right. Let's see what we hear in this statement. Eric Bieniemy in front of the media today said he is still growing as an NFL player.
Clyde has done a heck of a job. And the thing that my challenge has been for him is to, I know this sounds crazy, but just to get his win right, okay? To make sure that his endurance is right, to be able to play 7, 8, 9, 10 plays in a row. And so it's been impressive watching him work and challenging himself. And I've seen growth in that area. And the thing about it, I love the way he's functioning when he's quote-unquote supposed to be tired. And that's the thing that he's growing with in this process, because now he's learning what it takes to become a professional football player. All right? You're not going to always feel at your best. But when we call upon you in that time, can you react, all right, and play just like you would have if it would have been the first play?
What do you take from that? Is he saying that he has not been in shape? That he's not conditioned?
Yes. I think that there have probably been times.
And I don't think there's any way.
See if there's – is he been – going back in his carries, has he been a guy you see a lot in the first half? Like, how come I don't see – what happened to Clyde? Where's he been in the second half? Is it because he's not – he gets to the second quarter or third quarter or fourth quarter, he's like, I ain't got it. I got a couple plays. Do they not go to him late because he's just not ready to go? That's what I heard. That's what I heard there.
That is, I agree. It's kind of a damning statement for a guy who's been in the league this long and who was a first round pick. Do you think it's the closest thing Eric Bieniemy will ever get publicly to it's time for the diapers to come off?
It sure, you sure could connect those dots. Yeah, I mean, I like, he's going into his third year, and we're talking about him evolving at a position that's largely instinctual, and we're talking about him evolving into an NFL player.
Yeah.
Third year. You only have 4 years control unless you're willing to pay top dollar for a fifth year. Does anybody think that we're barreling towards a fifth year being handed to Clyde Edwards-Helaire soon?
I do not. I do not. Something's going to have to change this season. This is his chance to get, obviously, to get it. I'm not breaking any news there, but this is a monster year for him, I think.
There's no way he gets cut, is there?
No. I don't think so.
Eric Eager said he bet over 700 yards rushing. That's his rush total, 700 yards. He bet the over on that already. I would bet the over on that. But this scares me. Like, I'm expecting him to, you know, be healthy, have a good year, and be a steal in fantasy football and easily surpass 700 rushing yards.
Yeah. If you wanted to pull something positive out of that in that regard, he did say, I like, you know, the way he's playing hard when he's, you know, functioning. I think he said functioning when he's not, when he's tired. So maybe he's making a move in that regard. But the fact that in his third training camp, his offensive coordinator, who knows a little bit about the running back position of the National Football League, had to point out that that was a cause for concern coming into this year.
All right, let's hear Eric Bieniemy talking about Isaiah Pacheco. He said Pacheco has the right mindset for the NFL, still has things to learn.
He's a very confident young man, okay? Now, you're talking about a kid that plays hard. Pacheco plays hard. The thing I need Pacheco to do, and first of all, he's doing a great job. He has tremendous work ethics. As a young back, this is probably one of the toughest things that they need to learn, is allowing the game to come to him, learning how to be a patient runner, okay? Understand exactly what's going on up front, so now he can have a better feel on how to square his shoulders up, press it, and then read it out from there. But as far as work ethics, works hard. As far as a tough runner who will try and find 4.5 yards, checks that box, all right? And then on top of that, he does a great job in the pass game where he's catching it, and he's still learning to perfect his craft in pass pro. And it ain't so much with his attitude and blocking. It's just making sure he knows exactly who to pick up. And that takes a little while for a young guy.
What'd you take away from that?
The only thing he needs to really work on is just what a lot of backs up have to work on, just the speed of the game. Slow the game down. And I think he loves the way he approaches it. I think he feels pretty confident that when those things come to Isaiah Pacheco, and I think he thinks they will, it's going to be pretty good.
I think he, that's the first thing I've heard that somewhat could explain 3.4 yards per carry in college.
Yeah.
And then still ending up being a very productive NFL back.
Good point.
It's the first thing, patience.
Yep.
Right? If the guy either had bad coaching or didn't have the best vision in the league, and to your point, you know, we always talk about the game slowing down for guys. I think it's always fast when you go to a new level, and we talk about, you know, be quick but don't hurry. I think a lot of times guys hurry. I think basketball shows that as the most when you have guys that, you know, at their previous level were lights-out shooters, and now you're like, why is this guy shooting, you know, 3-11 from three? It's because he's hurrying. It's like, oh, my God, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, and he's hurrying his shot. He's just a little bit off, right? He hasn't settled into the pace of the game. So this, to me, is like the ultimate patience was Le'Veon Bell in his prime with a great Steeler offensive line who would take the handoff, hop, hop, hop.
Sometimes just stand there.
Yeah, and then
let
the hole, and then there's the hole, and he's gone.
Yeah,
and I think that's an extreme case, and it takes great offensive line to be able to play that way.
Which he certainly had.
Most coaches, yeah. Anyone who's played football or played running back, coaches are usually screaming at you to hit the hole as fast as you can, right? And that's counterintuitive to what Le'Veon Bell does. And I think it's a combination of. There are times you got to hit the hole, and I think one of the best ever. I thought Jamal Charles had a nice little hop, not as extreme as Le'Veon Bell, but there was a patience. But when he put the foot down, Priest was a little more traditional.
He would kind of glide along.
He would glide along, and then he would have that one cut, and he would take it up the field. But even just kind of like the draw.
Yeah.
You know, up the middle. Jamaal Charles could kind of hop away from, you know, the rush and then boom, hit the gear and go.
Yeah.
And he was so fast going through the hole that, you know, guys would be like, okay, I got my guy. I'm getting ready to come off the block. Oh, God, there he just went. He went right by me. And I think that's what you would hope that Pacheco would be. He's not quite as long and lean as Jamaal Charles was.
No.
A little bit more traditionally built. But, you know, that was the first time I've heard somebody kind of explain why he might have been 3.4, because he's rushing into the hole.
And an explanation that if you're a Chiefs fan looking for him to be a good player, you're kind of okay with.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of reasons. There are a lot of guys who average 3.4 yards in college that did it because they just don't have the skills.
Right.
He may have done it because of the reasons Eric Bieniemy kind of talked about in that answer, which if you're a Chiefs fan, you're okay with.
All right, we're talking Chiefs football to get things started. 913-3-810-810, the phone number, 913-3-810-810. We'll take your phone calls. We'll talk some more Chiefs. Injuries happening today. Hopefully none of them too serious. Chris Jones rode a cart up the hill after putting himself in the cart, not carted off, which would give you the idea that somebody had others lifted him into the cart. Not the case. Sore back, groin injury for Mecole Hardman and Juju Smith-Schuster not at practice again today.
Yeah.
Those things are of note and are certainly significant. We'll see what the timeline ends up being when we get a little bit more information. 913-3-810-810. You're in the program. We're talking Chiefs football here in the program. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk about the NFL. Why are the Houston Texans not in bigger trouble? I don't get this. I think I know the answer. It's a good old boys club amongst owners. Mm-hmm. The same reason why Daniel Snyder still has his team, but we're going to talk about the legal aspect of it with Tristan Woods, the lawman from Jungle Law. You hear spots here on the station. We thought, why not get an expert to answer these questions instead of us throwing darts? We'll do that coming up in our next segment. Right now, we take your phone calls, 913-3-810-810. Let's talk to our buddy. Brother Patrick is in the program. What's up, Patrick?
My man.
Well, let me say thanks for taking my call, first of all.
Of course.
Well, I got some things here I'll let y'all discuss. I have a close friend. I was believing that we were going to make it to the playoffs, but my close friend tells me that we ain't going to the playoffs, so I'm going to give you his reasons why, and y'all can comment on them.
Okay.
He said on the offense, the offensive line is unproven, and we ain't got no good running back, and nobody has proven that they can catch the ball for Mr. Mahomes. And then on the defense, that's unproven. He doesn't believe, or he don't believe, that Mr. Spagnuolo can train these guys this fast. I don't think, he says, we ain't drafted nobody that's known for pass interceptions, and he don't think we can stop the run when we, you know, really get to playing. So I was hoping that we would at least make it to the playoffs, but my friend says he is guaranteeing we ain't going there.
Wow.
So I love
it. Let me ask you a question, Brother Patrick. Is he willing to put money where his mouth is?
Well, I'll have to ask him about that then. We ain't went there yet. And I'll say this before I hang up. These, you know, all these big name quarterbacks getting this dance, you know, at the end of the season. And the two guys went on to the Super Bowl I had never heard of before. But I can't criticize them. They made it there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to listen off there.
All right. I appreciate it, Brother Patrick. Always good to talk to you, my friend. I would love to find out if he would like to make a wager.
Yeah.
I don't think the Chiefs are a stone-cold lock. You know, an injury to Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, you've got a problem.
Yes. But for the five offensive linemen that are unproven, started in the conference championship game last year.
So
I think that's... I think it's good.
Barring Patrick Mahomes getting hurt, I think there's probably only about a 20% chance, 15% chance, 10% chance, somewhere in that range, that they don't make the playoffs, even with him being hurt if he's down for four or five games. I think they might be able to weather it. Listen, we're going to know early on. The schedule's pretty salty to begin with. But, again, I saw nothing out of the Bears game when the ones were out there to make me think that they're going to have problems. And I think defensively – I think they're better at all three levels than they were last year. And there might be some young guy mistakes. I think you might have some games where they destroy people. I think they are faster. I think they're going to fly around. I think they're going to hit people. But I think they might be susceptible. You know, I think it's a complex defense that Steve Spagnuolo likes to run, and maybe they'll get caught with the wrong read, being in the wrong spot, and some of these quarterbacks that they're facing early on with Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert and Matt Ryan, and, you know, they're good quarterbacks that they're facing. Maybe they will make them pay, and so maybe there's a game that they give up 40 points.
There's the Raider game here 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think there'll be a game where they give up six or nine or 13 points.
Yeah.
And by the way, if they give up 40, that doesn't mean they've lost.
Right.
Because the offense is pretty good, right? I think the offense, you know, but I think if they give up 13, they're going to win.
Yes, every time.
I would add that even if, knock on wood, even if Mahomes, let's say worst case scenario, and they lose him for the whole season, you've got, I wouldn't sit here and guarantee they're making the playoffs, but you've got a head coach who has a history of at least getting the most out of a less than quarterback. You know, I still think you're looking at a team that could pull off a 9-win season, even if they're missing Mahomes for the whole year.
Yeah, I think so.
For sure.
I think that's fair.
They're not going 4-13 if they lose at Mahomes.
Yes, I would agree. So if your brother Patrick, if your buddy will make you a wager, I would like to be part of that wager because I will take the Chiefs. It doesn't mean you're absolutely going to win, but it would be a good bet. You've got a lot of math that's on your side. A lot of math that would be on your side. Let's take a break. I want to talk about the legal side of the NFL. Our buddy Tristan Woods from Jungle Law, the lawman, joins us next here in the program. Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are talking some NFL football, some Chiefs football. We'll get back into more Chiefs a little bit later on. The Feud with Todd Lebo coming up in our next hour, brought to you by our friends at Hen House. We talk a little law. The law, of course, when we talk law around here, we talk about jungle law. The lawman joins us. Our buddy Tristan Woods is with us here in the program to set us straight on why some things are working the way they are working. Tristan, welcome to the program, my friend. How are you?
Good. How you doing, buddy? Hey, I just want to say great show today. Awesome. When I have time, I love tuning in, and it's an amazing show. So I'm looking forward to talking to you, Petro. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Is that to say that when you go into court, you don't have, like, you know, earbuds in and you're catching the program?
Yeah. No, sometimes I do. You know, COVID stuff. I do a lot of stuff on Zoom. So to be honest, it made it a lot easier. So I'm kind of used to this stuff now.
Yeah.
It sounds echoing in my office. So hopefully we can get this, you know, good reception on this call.
No, you sound good. You sound great, as a matter of fact. Listen, we wanted to bring you on because I don't get, explain to me, I know that, you know, everyone's, Deshaun Watson's, you know, the behavior that he's been accused of is certainly reprehensible behavior, and we get it, and everyone's on Deshaun Watson. Much of this, if not all of it, I'd have to go back and look, took place at the Houston Texans facility. And the Texans have agreed, have settled with all of the victims, all of the alleged victims in this case. And yet the NFL is saying nothing about the Houston Texans. You don't go settle with somebody unless you feel like you've done something wrong, or at least somebody could make a case that you've done something wrong. Am I reading that the right way?
Yep. No, you are. You are, Petro. So here's the deal. You know, this story has been going on for quite some time now. You know, the allegations were from between 2019 to 2021. I believe there were 66 therapists that came onto the property. So I'll get back to your specific question a bit. Let me give you a little bit of background, kind of what I've researched, you know, kind of what I've heard. Obviously, I'm not privy to the complaint and things and what's going on in the case court proceedings that's still ongoing. That's not that many now that they've settled. But, you know, there was a non-disclosure agreement signed by the therapist, put on the letterhead from, I think, the Texans, provided them a place to go, not knowing any of this was, you know, probably going on. Let's just put it that way. So when they sign a non-disclosure agreement, they come on. They're not allowed, you know, to say, you know, they gave a massage to Mr. Watson or anything that they've heard, like going through the halls or anything like that. So I think that's where a lot of the liability could be held to Texans, because it was held at their facility. So that's kind of where I think the Texans kind of could potentially hold liability. You know, like I said, I've got a full disclosure. You know, the famous lawyer's terms is it depends. So, you know, that's kind of how some of these things work out, because I don't know privy to everything about
sure.
it. But, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, the Texans could potentially be liable because of, you know, what happened at their facility. And so your question was basically, if they've settled 30 lawsuits, are they liable or guilty? No, that's not, you know, that's not the case. A lot of cases, you know, majority of civil cases are settled prior to, you know, a jury or a bench trial. You know, it's not because they're admitting guilt. You know, they just, a lot of times they just want this to go away, or they don't want to be exposed any longer than what they've been. You know, the Texans have been exposed to this for almost for a year and a half or 2 years, you know, with all the allegations. So they're like, you know, they don't want to have any more liability with this. So they're like, you know, I kind of want to move on from this. So that's kind of probably why they traded Mr. Watson and, you know, certain things like that, to try to relieve yourself of liability of it. Because there is potential liability here from my standpoint.
Yeah, when you're an employer and you have an office, you have to provide a safe work environment, right?
That's true. Now, here's another thing, though. So the key word to this is notice. So did the employer have notice of this? Okay, I don't know. You know, he's a football player. They get hurt. They do massages. I don't know how many massage therapists typically go in and out, say, for a two-year period. You know, a lot of people only like one or two masseuses because they, you know, they build a relationship and they know what they like and things. However, on this case, I don't know if Texans should have been like, you know, this is a little bit odd behavior. There's 66 massage therapists coming in and out of here because they have to go through security to check in and check out and sign the non-disclosure agreement. That could be normal. I don't know. You know, I'm not a player, so I don't know, you know, if that's a normal course of what goes on there. But that could have, you know, that could have looked at a little bit odd, saying 66 women coming in and out of this facility, all different for a massage. You know, that'd be the only thing that put them on notice, unless they heard anything, which they could have, and swept it underneath the rug. That's a possibility, too. I don't know. So, you know, we'll never know really what was found behind the scenes. We're just hearing things, you know, on the news and things like that, but there's a lot of things that you probably aren't going to hear about.
Right. And
that's kind of where they could be held liable. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if I were, like, you know, to put on my, like, this is because these are one of the calls I made is exactly like what you're talking about right there when this story first came out, was I was like, all right, well, wait a minute. Is that normal? Right. So, like, I would ask that question if I were an attorney and say, all right. And I called around to guys I know in the league, and I called three different teams,
yeah.
And they all said, listen, these guys, their body is their life. Like, they find, you know, whether it's a chiropractor or a masseuse or doctor, they find one that they like, and they don't go anywhere else. Like, maybe, you know, somebody has an assistant, and so they will, you know, get adjustments, chiropractic adjustments or massages, by one of maybe a couple of people, but like they had never heard of an athlete having all, you know, having 66 different people. Is that enough to establish the precedent that the Texans should have known that something is awry here?
Well, I mean, you just put it yourself, right? If they had experts come on to testify that, you know, you talk to three, you know, individuals, and this seemed like not normal behavior. It wasn't the pattern, you know, that would probably be enough to, you know, raise doubt on that. You know, I mean, I don't know what else was said. I don't know if these women, you know, came to them and discussed anything with them regarding this. I mean, you know, I'm careful with what I say with my words, but, you know, I think there's got to be notice on that. I mean, I think there's a good claim there by the victim's attorney there. I think that they probably did have, you know, that's 66 and they're used to two or three. I mean, I think I'd be a little bit weary of that. And in addition, they all signed non-disclosure agreements, so they knew they were in and out of that facility.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's another thing, and that was on their letterhead, so that put the act at their facility where they were in control of it. So, go ahead, Patrick.
No, go ahead. I want to hear your point.
So, like, say, like, you get – say I hire an employee at my firm, and, you know, they do – they say, not my firm, let's not do that. Let's do someone at a bar, a bouncer per se, possibly, or a bartender. And they, you know, I hire them knowing that they've got a lot of assault charges or something pending against them. This is hypothetical. And, you know, I was on notice that this happened, and I went ahead and hired them again, and they assaulted somebody again on the job. Well, the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to send me a letter, and they're going to say, are you aware of any of this, you know, past actions
right.
of this? And if you were aware of it, then you're probably on notice of it. So what's that mean? You're probably going to be liable for it if you've been placed on notice. So, I mean, that's, I think 66, I can't definitively say, but it's not, like you said, two or three masseuse typically or therapists would come in because they would like one. So that's odd. You can't get away from that. So I think there's something there that's a little bit not on point.
Well, we're talking to the law man, Tristan Woods from Jungle Law, here in the program about the case going on with the Texans. All right, so here's the next level, and this is a stretch, and I'm going way out there. So just give me your ballpark idea. We had Bob Kraft, who was arrested for having, you know, going to a masseuse before he flew up here to Kansas City. We have Daniel Snyder, who's been accused of all kinds of things in Washington. Is there, and I apologize, there's work going on right outside our door. is there any kind, is the league having that precedent of now this is the third organization, right, that has what we would say are, you know, at least questionable behavior on it. Is the league starting to become vulnerable to some kind of lawsuit from individuals? Like, could the NFL be who somebody would now target and say that this is an organization that is run amok?
Man, that's a tough one. I mean, we're really... Yeah, I mean, if you believe you got a good faith allegation, a good faith belief, you could, you know, incorporate them and add them. You got the owners and you got the players and then you got the league. I mean, you know, I'm not too privy on this, but in 2020, didn't they redo the collective bargaining agreement?
Yeah.
That's where we are today, I believe, by the 6-game suspension. Okay. So I think that they are trying to, you know, trying to get this going the right way as the public wants them to do. Would they be liable? I mean, I could see a case where they could potentially be liable. Why? Because I guess the NFL employs the owners, owners employ the players. You know, it's kind of like this. It kind of could revert back to the Texans possibly, you know. But, you know, when they go to the other massage parlors, parlor places, that's not in their control possibly. That's not at the facility. So, you know, I mean, I guess you could try to incorporate it. I mean, I don't know if that would be a successful argument, but it could be, because now they've been on notice. They're trying to put in, you know, classes and certain things to combat this stuff. I mean, I think they probably could.
And when you have a collective,
I can see it happening.
Yeah, and when you have a collective bargaining agreement, obviously, you know, that's the workforce has agreed this is how we're going to do things. Management has agreed this is how we're going to do things. And so I've always said, look, you know, I remember back in the steroid era of baseball, I said, if they wanted steroids out, the players would have said, yes, test us. And if owners really wanted steroids out back then, they would have said, we're not signing anything unless you're going to agree to steroid testing. And they never did it. Nobody really, they liked that the home runs were flying out and the game was making a lot of money.
Yep.
So they didn't collectively bargain it. So getting, you know, that's why I get frustrated about, you know, the guys that are either alleged or have admitted to taking steroids, not being in the Hall of Fame. It's like, you know, they didn't break any rules of the game. So why is that? Well, in this case, we've got a collective bargaining agreement between the players and the owners, and the players are upset that these penalties are being thrown on them. And I'm wondering, do the players have any, you know, leg to stand on when they say, wait a minute, you're throwing out all these penalties for us. Where's the penalty for Bob Kraft? Where's the penalty for Dan Snyder? Where's the penalty for the Houston Texans? Therefore, you don't have a right to fine our guys, suspend our guys if you're not going to plead your own. Or is that like, look, you guys need to take that up in your next collective bargaining agreement. You have nothing doing in that situation right now other than like a court of public opinion.
Yeah, no, I kind of favor the latter part of that. I believe that, you know, I mean, they need to take that up to, renew the collective bargaining agreement. Just because somebody did something, you know, and it's fine, doesn't make it right for somebody else, you know, to do something kind of deal. So, but I understand, say we have the owner, Bob Kraft, who did that with the therapist, who allegedly did that, and then you have a player, and he didn't get, you know, as much trouble as the player did. You know, obviously he didn't. You know, I mean, he's the owner. You know, I don't know the politics behind all that stuff,
right.
All that. But, you know, I can tell you, you know, there's a lot of things, like I said, Petro, that we can't hear. We don't know what's going on. You know, I certainly don't. So I just kind of get my information, and I kind of, you know, can formulate an opinion like everybody else. Doesn't mean my opinion's correct or not. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. The players are like, hey, you know, why is, you know, I'm seeing all this from the owners. They're supposed to be the ones setting the role model, and here I am, you know, getting in trouble. And they're not basically adhering to the same laws that they're trying to create for us. I mean, you know, just the world isn't the world isn't fair, Petro. I know that. So, you know, that's kind of, I think that, you know, they should take that up with their collective bargaining agreement with that. They got good attorneys working for them, and they should probably incorporate that into the next agreement.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean that they should go in and think it's okay to do that because nothing happened to the owner.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's not where that should be going. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that, like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they take more money. Like, they should have better health care plans, right? But they always take more money now instead of putting it aside. And, you know, that's why you have collective bargain agreements, and it's why you need to be thinking about the whole big picture of it. We're talking to Tristan Woods, the lawman from Jungle Law here. My last, you know, kind of thought on this is, if, you know, and I don't want to say if you were representing the ladies, the massage therapists that were there, but, you know, an attorney representing them, when you, you know, when you have an organization like the Texans, and they're holding this spot, and they come to you and they want to settle, is that set off warning bells that, like, we've really got a case here, like they're on the run?
Well, I mean, sometimes it depends. I believe that the lawsuit was filed. I know it was against Deshaun. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it was filed against the Texans too. So typically what happens, if you feel like you've got a great case, you know, say we file, like, send them a demand letter or something like that, they respond quickly with offers, well, yeah, then they want to relieve themselves of liability. It doesn't mean that they're guilty. Sometimes
right.
they just don't want to mess with it. They want to get it off their plate. But, yeah, certainly as a plaintiff's attorney, I love it when an organization, or say I was this attorney, when an organization call me and say, you know what, we want to get this taken care of. You know, that's always great.
Sure.
You got to look out for your client. If that's in the best interest of the client to settle early, you know, you have that conversation with the client. But I typically, yes, but it doesn't mean they're alleging guilt. You know, it just means that they want to get this thing done, and they could see some things that are going to be exposed down the line that they don't want to, and they can foresee some issues. So, you know, the Texans have a team of hell of attorneys. You know, they probably got 30, 40 on staff.
Right.
They know everything going on down to the decibel on this money, you know, what they can be exposed. So, I mean, you know, that's they've evaluated everything, and just based upon what was going on, I felt like, you know, that they felt like that was necessary.
Yeah, that's why when you're going up against 30 or 40 attorneys, you need the lawman, right? That's a perfect segue, right? That's
yeah, no, I like that, Pastor. That's a good one.
You like
yeah,
that? That's
nice.
That's good.
One other
question, and I'll give you a quick final four and get you going. I know you're busy. Like, when you
I can't wait for this final four. I can't even we're gonna see what these are.
Okay,
I'm sure
okay.
You're gonna try to get me what was your other question? I can't wait for these.
Yeah, the other one is the Browns paying Deshaun Watson only $1 million in the first year. You know, can that be construed as, you know, trying to navigate away from having damages? I mean, his penalty as far as being suspended is going to be minuscule compared to what it would be if it were later in the deal. Does that show an intent, you know, to get around it?
What do you think? When these players are getting, what, 20, 30, 40 million a year, and now he just gets paid $1 million, I think he got a $34, $40 million signing bonus. I think anybody can answer that question.
Yes.
But like I said, it's my opinion. But, yeah, I think that they foresaw something. I mean, you know, that's exactly what I thought was going to happen. But, you know, that's pretty clear to me that
yes.
they just offered $1 million and he took it. You know, there's something there that they figured. So they were kind of banking on that, literally, that was going to happen.
Go ahead.
Well, Deshaun Watson, he didn't even play in 2021 either, and then they probably thought he might not even play in 2022, you know, and then they gave him this big contract. I don't know. I mean, maybe they know something more than I know about his playing ability. He's a great quarterback, but, you know, the Chiefs, they're great. There's no problems with them. You know, he plays, he goes, and just does his stuff.
I had somebody say, well, why would the Browns, like, make themselves look so bad by just giving him $1 million? I'm like, the Browns look bad when they traded for him. So once you've decided we're going to live with that – What the hell matters after that point? So, all right, let's get to it.
Yeah, one more thing I'd like to say. What, you know, I mean, there's 50 other guys out there trying to make a team, you know, working their butt off and stuff, you know, working nonstop. And then, you know, as the owner, you know you're going to be hiring a liability issue. You know that? Like, you knew this stuff was going to come into play. So, you know, I don't understand why he wanted that, you know, notoriety and issues, but, you know, that's what kind of come about. Like, he obviously foresaw it with the $1 million contract, but, you know, I just think he should have looked somewhere else. That's my personal opinion. So,
And I think there's a lot of Browns fans that would agree with you. All right, let's get to our final four with Tristan. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Chiefs. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Let's start with this. Did you want, you're an attorney, you're a lawyer. First of all, let's start with that one. Do you prefer attorney or lawyer? Which is a better way to describe your profession?
I guess my profession, I guess an attorney. I disclose myself as an attorney when I'm talking to other attorneys and things like, you know, but lawyer's fine too. I think the attorney might be more respectable, but these days, Petra, who respects attorneys? Nobody, almost.
I do.
You don't even know how many damn lawyer jokes I get. It's crazy.
Listen.
So it's just, you know.
Yeah, trust me. I do. I pay somebody and they fight for me. I don't know what could be more noble than that.
That's exactly what I do. But you'd be surprised.
Yes, so, I know.
What do we got next?
did you watch the show Better Call Saul?
Oh yeah, I've seen the show, sir.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I figured that could be a topic. Yeah, you're alluding to my billboards and crazy things that I do with those.
No, I love the show, and I just didn't know because you know the law part of it, and I didn't know if you were a huge fan of it. Did you have?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Yeah, I enjoyed.
Okay. Did you have? Who was your biggest influence when it comes to the law?
Overall, none of my family members were lawyers. My fiance and partner. You know, kind of drive me into doing this. Kind of, we both became lawyers together, and you know,
that's awesome.
I had my best friend in New York. He's a lawyer, and one day we were sitting around, and I was out in L.A. doing some acting things, and I said, you know, what am I going to do here? He said, try the law thing. I was like, you know, I don't know if I can do all that, but once I started going to law school, I really enjoyed it, and you know, just something that I'm passionate about. I'm very passionate about my firm and all my employees and all my clients, and you know, I do fight like hell for them all. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's just. Lawyer's a hard job. It's very stressful, but, you know, I'm glad I came into it and did it. I really enjoy it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, and you did mention, and we hear your ads, obviously, here. We're a great partner of ours here at Sports Radio 810.
Yeah.
Seen the billboards, seen the television commercials. I think there's one question that everybody has on their mind. Spray or mousse? I mean, I was sitting, looking at two bald guys. Looking at two bald guys all day in my job. That is a glorious mane of hair that you have. Is it spray or mousse?
It's not bad, Petra. I'll tell you that. It's not bad. Now, you know, it's actually real blonde. I've never dyed my hair in my entire life.
Okay.
I have my long hair since I was 16. So I credit my family for that. My mother has great hair genes. Now, mousse, I actually don't do anything. I actually wash it and I go. But when I do the shoots, I do the spray. So I guess let's go with spray on that one.
Okay.
Spray
okay.
on that one, Petra.
I'm going to note no product as well. No product normally.
No product. Exactly. I like that. But, I'm all organic over here, Petra.
Yeah, but
so
when
going that way.
When going in front of the camera, then we'll use spray in the interest of, what needs to be done. I like that. That's strong. Strong hair game.
We'll use some spray there, Petro.
That's awesome. Hey, Tristan, thanks so much. We appreciate the time. Thanks for giving us some insights, and look forward to talking to you next time we got some kind of legal query, okay?
Yeah, let's do it. I'll see you when I get in town. Sounds good, Petro. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. Tristan Woods, the lawman. You can find him, Jungle Law. That is his great law firm. You can find him right now if you need an attorney. Free consultation. Call 833-4-JUNGLE. That's 833-4-JUNGLE. You can also find him online at junglelaw.com. Tristan Woods, the lawman, breaking it down for us. We appreciate it. All right, with at least 50 NFL starts, who's the only quarterback that has not thrown a pick six? Brought to you by GoodSense.